Today's episode is sponsored by Glory and Shine, offering lotions, soap bars, lip balms, beard care, and much, much more. All of their products are natural, wholesome, and prayerfully designed and crafted to inspire the Catholic faithful during everyday acts of life and to promote prayer, meditation on scripture, and Marian devotion. For 10% off your entire order, use promotional code RUA at checkout, and please check out the link in the show notes. Today's episode is also sponsored by Pray More Novenas. This Lent, we can't recommend enough the PrayMoreRetreat.org. This online retreat will help you meditate on the Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. Everything is online and at your own pace, and you can find the time to listen to the 5 inspiring speakers and 19 total talks. Each talk comes with a video, study guide, transcript, so you can use it alone or with others. This retreat, most importantly, helps you to focus your eyes on the Lord and transform your prayer life this Lent. To sign up, please visit PrayMoreRetreat.org. Thank you, listeners, for supporting these incredible Catholic businesses. Here is today's story. Ali Shoemaker is a part-time freelance writer for nonprofit organizations and a self-taught artist. She is also a childhood cancer advocate, and among the stranger things in her life, she will soon be a character in the movie Clouds, a Warner Brothers Productions movie based on the life of her younger brother, Zach Zobiec. She lives in hearty Midwest with her husband and her 2 little boys, and you can find her on Instagram at Ali L. Shoemaker. Listeners, we ask that you sit with us, pray with us, and learn with us as we listen to Ali's story of faith on our shared journey to the cross.
You Were Rome, Preface and Poem by Ali Shoemaker. My only purpose in this world may have been to accompany my 18-year-old brother as he died, to stroke his hair, whisper I love you into his cooling ear, and to help write some of his last earthly thoughts as he lay on a linoleum bathroom floor. I murmured memories of our family vacation in Mexico, reminding him of a sea turtle he saw gliding under the gleaming waves, trying to fill his failing and cancer-encrusted lungs with life-giving ocean air. As I held his hand, I turned to the protection of St. Michael, praying fervently that he guide my brother across this quaky bridge. My only identity on this earth may be Zach's older sister, and that will be enough. For a woman who thought she'd be studying in Rome, to be a traveling journalist who strove for accolades and to be lavished with compliments, to make a name for herself, I thank God often that he gave me the chance to bury the dead humbly and quietly in the twilight of that Monday morning in late May. I witnessed firsthand the marriage of beauty and suffering, the poignancy of love and loss, and the truth of God's existence. If a love like this can so powerfully transcend time, there must be something more. Zach was diagnosed with bone cancer 2 months after I started college. While other students were worried about GPAs, I was asking my intro to journalism professor to reschedule my midterm so I could just be next to my brother, to behold his physical presence so it didn't feel like he was gone already. The next year, his cancer worsened. It crept up from his hip to his lungs, and he had surgeries to remove pieces of them. All the while, he worked on his music. He wrote goodbye songs and played his guitar, singing despite the new heaviness in his chest and the nausea he felt from chemotherapy. I was set to study abroad in Rome, to behold the beauty of God in the cathedral, the monasteries, the art, seeking the truth, looking to discover holiness and my own worth in its many walls. But as Zach's bones quivered, his body diminished and sallowed, I knew I could not leave him. Not when we could so clearly see his finite point on the horizon. How could I rush past? It's important that you know that I did not choose to bury my brother. I writhed from it. I swore at God while kneeling in front of the Eucharist. I fought passionately with my mom, displaced anger and blame pouring out of me. I even left my house to live with a friend for a time towards the end. I didn't have the strength to move on with my life and watch him die at the same time. Soon after, we had a social worker come to my parents' house to talk to my 14-year-old sister, Grace, about Zach's soon-to-arrive death. My sister didn't want to go alone, so I sat in our living room with her as a social worker whipped out art projects and children's books. My sister felt a little juvenile, but I was enraptured. The social worker read a book called Rabbitiness to us. The story is about a rabbit who suddenly disappears, leaving his friends in despair. His friends find that he left his gifts and passions behind, musical instruments, paint, brushes, and more. Though crushed by the loss of their friend, they use the gifts he left to create beauty in the darkness out of his memory. Though I was in my early 20s at the time, the book taught me a life-changing lesson, that we can transform our suffering, our stories of pain, into healing and connection. Zach and I spoke often about his cancer and how it affected him, particularly on probably illegal drives together on icy roads at night. One of my favorite writers, Henry Nouwen, said, "I am deeply convinced that each human being suffers in a way no other human being suffers." During our conversation, Zach and I held on to this as we grappled with his death. He found comfort in knowing everyone suffers and struggles in different ways, because it means we can unite with everyone in our suffering, and that we are never alone. Even if our struggles are different, he felt relief in being understood. I see now that sometimes the greatest graces and mercies are cloaked in the fear of worldly pain. My mom once said that even if Zach died, she was grateful to God to have known him at all. Today, I marvel at the chances, at the simple fact that God chose my life to parallel his, to witness the power of my dear brother's music, his art, his person and essence. This is the inspiration for a poem I wrote recently called You Were Rome, which I wrote for Zach. I decided not to go to Rome because you were dying, but I discovered after all that the cathedrals lived in you. Between the scar slashes on your back, your ribs, flying pillars, holding our stony weight and pointing toward God. Your laughter was the lighted glass. People ask, and I always tell them, this is weird to say, but you made it beautiful. Watching you go, seeing you now in wind-blown postcards, you were Rome, and I came back better.
Prayer by Carol Hauslander. By your heaviness and fear in Gethsemane, comfort the oppressed and those who are afraid. By your loneliness facing the passion while the apostles slept, comfort those who face evil alone while the world sleeps. By your persistent prayer in anguish of anticipation, strengthen those who shrink from the unknown. By your humility, Lord, taking the comfort of angels, give us grace to help and to be helped by one another and in one another, to comfort you, Jesus Christ. Amen.